Court reporters hold one of the most important roles in the justice system. We're entrusted with the official records of the courts, and we also have to run our own businesses, which is not something most of us were prepared for. I'm Bryn Seymour, freelance court reporter and life coach, and I invite you to join the discussion about the problems we face and the solutions we create on the unique journey of a stenographer.
Welcome to the Entrepreneurial Court Reporter Podcast.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm great.
Great. Where are you right now? You're in New York, right?
Yes. New York, of course. I'm a resident of Yonkers.
Oh, Yonkers. Okay. Because I was looking at your website and I saw that you were doing business in Long Island and now you moved, right?
Yes. So that I did Long Island for maybe a year. And then I'm actually opening up in Ridge Hill in Yonkers, January.
Oh, awesome. Wow, that is so exciting. You have a lot of things coming along the way.
I do.
First, I'm just going to ask you to introduce yourself and share a little bit about who you are. And then I'm going to ask you some questions about your career as a court officer and also as sergeant now. As, you know, your business ventures. So go ahead.
Yeah. So, okay. I'm Jamie Zeno, obviously. I was always a Brooklyn girl, born and raised in Brooklyn. I ended up moving to Yonkers straight out of the academy. I've been in the courts going on 8 years now. I guess you could say when I was younger, I always had a passion for law enforcement. And then like I had relatives that were obviously like, you know, law enforcement. And then my uncle's an attorney. And so stuff like that, I just kind of just gravitated to it. And I always said I wanted some action. So being in the Bronx has given me the action that I've needed and probably could do away with at this point. I actually just got a transfer to Westchester.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. So I'm now in the 9th JD as of last Thursday, and it's definitely different in a good way. It's more like a breath of fresh air. I've definitely been embracing that a lot more. I feel like it came at a perfect time when it's just like needed. And it was something that I didn't know I needed, let's say, but it came when it was needed. And so that's where I'm at with the courts so far, as well as, you know, opening up a beauty and wellness lounge in January in Ridge Hill. I'll be doing that. I also am a life coach, life and health coach. And I also have a organic skincare and makeup line online.
Okay. Wow. So you have both like a brick and mortar shop and you have an online business so that you can serve more people throughout the world.
Right. Exactly.
So you said that you're a law enforcement officer and you've always been interested in the legal industry and in law enforcement. So is that because you had family in it or how did that intrigue you?
I don't think my family really had any type of influence on me. I thought that their jobs were pretty cool. I had a cousin in Puerto Rico who actually was a police officer. And then I have one here in NYPD who is in counterterrorism. And so it just at the time that my cousin out here was going through his academy, I was living in Vegas. Let's start with that. I was living in Vegas at the time. And he was telling me how crazy it was and how, you know, demanding it was of him. And I was just thinking to myself, like, wow, that seems cool. And when he got on the job, he would tell me like so much about it. And I was just fascinated by the law enforcement industry. And so when I lived in Vegas, I originally went out there to do their PD training. That actually went really well until I got homesick. And then once I got homesick, I was like, no, I want to come back home. And my mom was like, no, why would you do that? Like you've made it so far out there. Why don't you just stay? And I was just like, no. I'm ready to come back home. I miss New York. And when I came back, I ended up taking the exam for the courts in, I would say about 2009, maybe. But then they had that hiring freeze. So that held me back quite some years. And actually, when I think about it now, I'm like, wow, I could have had like maybe 15 years on the job right now had they actually just moved along. but because they didn't and they had the freeze, I didn't go in until 2016.
The court officer job always intrigues me. And it's just really, to me, it's very spiritual. Like I see it in a spiritual way, like as you guys are like the guardian cherubs, like the guardian angels. And
That's cute. I never made that association with it, but that's a good way to look at it. I like that.
It's just how I see it. When I see like the judge making a decision on what to do with the defendant, or in our case in family court, like the respondent, and those officers are always ready. And when that, as soon as the judge makes the decision, they're either they retreat and like go away from them, or they're there like standing their ground, ready for anything to happen. And it's just really cool. I see it as like they're guarding the throne, and it's really awesome. So I always tell people like, you should look into it. It's really, I would love for, you know, to know more people in the workplace. And it's like a fun place to work. Actually, Bronx Family Court is like a kind of like a family. Like they do, like just yesterday we did a staff appreciation lunch where I actually got to perform and sing a song and with one of the other court officers. So how do you become a court officer? Like you said, you went to an academy.
Yes, there's an academy. And by the way, I actually started out in Bronx Family Court.
Oh, really? Did you love it?
I did. I did love it. It's exactly what you said. It's like a close-knit family. That's exactly the feel that I got for it. And that's what I missed, you know? Mm-hmm. So yes, there's an academy. You have to take a test. The exam comes out every 4 years. It's supposed to be every 4 years, but sometimes they delay it a little bit.
So do you work with court reporters directly?
We do. Yes, we do. Okay. Absolutely.
I work, obviously, every court reporter works with court officers, but I don't think every court officer works with court reporters because of the shortage. I just wanted to ask because I know a lot of courtrooms are using FTR now, unfortunately.
Right. So we know that, you know, family court uses FTR. In some parts, some of them don't. Like I know the juvenile parts, they have the court reporters.
It's just the one thing. It's like when there's a shortage and they don't have enough court reporters, they have no choice.
Yeah. It's been, you know, it's been like that for a while. And every time we have a court reporter, we kind of develop a really good relationship with them. I mean, we all work together at the end of the day. And so it's just pretty cool to see what you guys do. So we're always asking questions and we're like, oh my gosh, like, how do you keep up? You know, like, how do you listen to this person and that person and then still manage to, like, you know, get everything? And we're like, wow, you guys are super amazing at what you do. Oh, so thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's definitely communication between the court reporter and the court officer is really important because sometimes, like, when they just recently hired a whole wave of new officers, they had to adjust a little bit because sometimes they would just start calling the cases without letting us know, and maybe the judge isn't even ready or we're not ready. I mean, the judge, he obviously has to be ready, but we also have to be ready. If they start calling the case and we're like not prepared and, you know, we're taking a sip of our water or something, like,
right,
we have to have a little bit of a heads up so the officers kind of get the hang of like giving us a nod or something, or getting a nod from us to make sure that we're all ready to go and that the record is going to be accurate and everything is set up properly.
Absolutely. I actually had an encounter in a criminal court right before I transferred. One of the officers actually started calling the case and there was no court reporter there because she had stepped away to the bathroom.
Oh my God.
And he called it, and then the judge starts, and then we're like, judge, there's no court reporter. You're like, oh my gosh. Yeah, it's important.
That just happened in court the other day that I stepped out of the courtroom and then I came back in like literally like a minute or 2 minutes after because I was just using the bathroom in the judge's room right behind the courtroom. And she thought the judge got so scared. She was like, wait a minute, were you not in here for the case that they had called it, which I was in there for, thank God. But she was like, oh my gosh, wait, were you here? Did we just do that whole thing without you? She got like her, she almost had like a heart attack. So, yeah,
that is hilarious.
Definitely important. But yeah, it's so cool to see all the different parts in the justice system and get a glimpse into each one. I mean, I know you recently were promoted from a court officer to a sergeant. So it seems like you probably really manage your time well, because not only are you working full time, but you also have beauty businesses and your coaching business. So which one do you want to start talking about first? Like, which one?
When COVID started and I noticed like there was like a decline in people's confidence and how they felt about themselves. And, you know, nobody was able to do their nails. You know, nobody was able to go to just the hair salon or whatever. So I said, well, let me kind of make light of the situation. And so I started a beauty channel on YouTube, and I started using the products that I had that I found that were really good for skin, or like I would do hair tutorials and stuff like that. And I even did like a powder dip nail tutorial on how to do it and how to remove it. And so that actually was pretty good. A lot of people really responded well to that one. And so at some point I was like, why am I spending all this money on Sephora? Don't get me wrong, love Sephora, but I could just put that money into something for me. And so I started looking for manufacturers and starting to figure out what I wanted the brand to be, what I wanted it to look like, and started just putting everything together in that time. And then I made it official and I finally launched it in June of 2021. And I was just like in awe at how everything just came about so fast, because when you're in it and you're doing it, you don't really pay attention to the speed that you're going. And you don't really realize how much time and energy you're dedicating to what you love to do until like it actually happens. You take a step back and you're like, oh, wow, like I actually made that happen. And I didn't even realize that I was really making it happen that fast. So that came about for then. And then I would say about a year later, I decided to do something with my esthetician's license. And then I also did a certification in Queens for like body contouring and all this stuff. And I was kind of like fascinated by it because I couldn't believe that you could actually lose weight. You could actually lose inches so fast, non-invasive. So I was just like, oh, wow, like this is pretty cool, you know? So I started to perfect my craft in that. And I was like, you know, this all ties in because I like helping people feel good about themselves. And I like bringing confidence back to people. And so I was like, they have the resources. I want to be able to provide them with the resources. And that being, okay, well, they have the makeup, they have the skincare, they have the body contouring, they can come to me for facials. Like, I felt like there's no reason why anyone should feel less than for any reason. And so I think the icing on the cake came to me last year when I was just like, I would love to do life coaching. Like, I noticed that people always gravitated to me and always wanted to like pour their life stories to me. And I'm just like, oh my God, I always found that in return, I always gave them like something motivational to take from it or something encouraging. And I was just like, you know what? This is great. Like, this kind of ties into everything, because now it's not only the physical that I'm trying to improve with people. I'm also now working on their mindset and the inner work that they're trying to do. I can actually help them with that. So then I went to the Health Coach Institute and I got certified for life coach and health coach as well. And here we are.
What is body contouring? It sounds like putting makeup on your body.
No. No. So, for example, we use like these specialized machines for it. And so we have one, for example, that's like an ultrasound machine somewhat, right? And so the ultrasound waves basically break down the fat in the areas that we like use it on. And the whole time that it's basically, it resembles a sonogram, as the provider is just basically like, you know, doing the motions and treating the whole area, it actually melts and liquefies the fat. What? So the whole time it's doing that, yeah, it's liquefying the fat. Yeah, body contouring basically is a non-invasive way of losing fat.
So kind of like you know, like those red laser lights that you can get on your face.
Yes,
So it's like that, except laser light on your body to melt the fat and then...
Right. So another one of the machines we have is actually laser lights, and we call it laser lipo.
Wow. So, mm-hmm. I mean, is there a portion of teaching them how to maintain the weight loss or like, is it sustainable?
Yes, it is sustainable. And I do give post-treatment care options for them.
The most effective way to do anything, I think, is through life coaching.
Right.
I mean, because it's all in our mindset. We can literally accomplish whatever we want.
Absolutely. And I tell people, everything starts with the mindset. Whether it's the fact that, you know, you're depressed, you're going through a divorce, your finances, whatever, all of this stems from your mindset, like mm-hmm. how you view things, you know. And a lot of times people don't understand, but when you're young, you know, you're like a sponge, you absorb. Your crucial moments in life take place when you're like about anywhere from 5 to 7 years old, because that's when you're absorbing the most. And that's when it's like a make or break situation. That's when you could have the parents that motivate you and they're like, you know, you're unstoppable. You can achieve whatever you want. Like, don't let anyone ever tell you that you can't. Or you could have the parents that are like, you know, like, what's wrong with you? What are you, stupid? You're never going to be anything, you know? So this is what carries on throughout your life, you know? And what you're exposed to, the environment that you're exposed to. At the end of the day, we all have a choice to either become what we've seen, or we can take that and we can say, you know what? That's the guide that I'm going to use for what I do not want to become, and I'm going to do different. It's all about your mindset. It's all about how strong you are mentally. If you're mentally weak, you're always going to look at yourself as a victim. You're always going to feel like you can't do something. You know, you're always going to set your own limitations. And I tell people all the time, like, nobody stops you in this world from doing what you want to do. You stop yourself with your mindset. Mm-hmm. It's on you. Because if you continuously feed this energy to yourself that I can't, or I won't, or I don't think they would choose me, or I don't think I'm right for it, then what are you doing? You're telling yourself this. So why do you need enemies? You're your own worst enemy. So change your mindset. And I'm not saying that it's easy to do. Doing the inner work is very difficult, you know, and the universe will challenge you. Like, it will. God will always send things your way to test you. And it's either make or break for you. And you have to react in these situations. If you can compare yourself to how you were a couple of years ago, and actually start thinking and comparing yourself to how you are now, and you can kind of gain the differences that you feel you need to like work on and things that maybe you want to tweak, it's really not impossible. You can do it. But if you're not disciplined, where are you going to go?
Well, well said. Yeah. It's
thank you.
Like, the power of a word or a thought is so crazy to me, because a word from your parents or from anyone who you look up to, or just anyone at all, it doesn't just disappear. Like, the words we speak to someone and that they hear, it becomes a seed in their mind and can grow to something negative or something positive, depending on what the intention and the word was that was spoken. So I always like, you know, I always like to keep that in mind for myself when thinking, trying to create a goal or trying to create a result or reach a goal. It's really according to what we're thinking and according to our faith and what we believe we can accomplish.
Absolutely. One thing that I always tell people too, along with mindset, goes discipline, because discipline is major key. A lot of people struggle with discipline. And some people find it a little easier. If you're disciplined in what you want to do and you can actually say, you know what, I know that I need to make this change. I'm tired of getting like the same outcome in everything that I do. It's time to change my mindset. It's like I said before, it's not going to be easy. It will be challenging. But if you develop that discipline and you're like, no, like, this is something that I prioritize. This is something that is going to be beneficial for me in my future, in everything, my relationship, my finances, my career, you know, if these are things that you truly want to do, you're going to discipline yourself to make time for it. And you're going to invest in yourself. And that's the one thing I always tell people, investing in yourself, it's actually the best thing you can do. you invest in everybody else's business, right? We buy food, we buy clothes, we do all of that. Okay. Investing in yourself can take you so much further.
Oh my gosh.
People don't understand that. And people don't want to do that. They look at it as, oh, well, I don't think I deserve to spend this much money on what I need to do or what I want to do. And even with clients, you know, some clients, sometimes they take a little while to come to me and they're like, oh, well, I wasn't sure if I wanted to do it or I had to manage my money. And I'm like, hey, that's all good and dandy. You know, that's great. I get it. Life has its way sometimes. So I understand it. But I always tell people, if you find a way to actually invest in yourself, you will see and you will reap the fruits that you've bared like in this whole time. Like, it'll be amazing. Honestly, I just love seeing people really reach a level that they thought would never happen for them. It's a beautiful thing. And as I'm going with them through the changes, just the feedback that I get, like when they're like, oh my God, like, thank you so much. The light bulb went off. Like, I didn't even know that I was doing this. And you're right. And then they start telling me like, yeah, like my husband is noticing the change now. Like, we don't fight. We don't argue. We can communicate now. Or like, I'm present more with my kids. And before I wasn't, like, this is great. Or people just attracting new opportunities into their life that they didn't even think was going to happen. They're just like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, yeah, with mindset and discipline comes the manifestation of the life that you actually want to live.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we have the responsibility as business owners, as human beings who want to make something out of our future, we have the responsibility to make it happen and to invest in our greatest assets. And you know, to some people, they might think XYZ or whatever is their greatest asset. But in reality, we are our own greatest assets. If we invest in ourselves and in our brain, like, people just don't trust themselves enough to invest in themselves. So they'll put their money into the stock market before they'll put it into themselves, because they're like, I trust that this company will succeed more than I'll succeed. Right.
Right. And like, that's horrible.
People invest their money into things they have absolutely no control over, but we have complete control over ourselves and our destiny. Like, we can make things happen if we decide to, and if we set our minds to it. So I think, you know, I've invested a lot of money on life coaching. I spent about $6,000 on a financial coach because I didn't know how to manage my money, but I knew, even though I don't have the money or I can't really afford to do this right now, I knew that it would be worth it, because if I can figure out how to manage my money, then I won't have to worry about having money problems ever in the future. Like, it's worth it.
It is. And I myself invested in a life coach. I felt like, you know, for some reason, I felt like I was just going in circles with everything that I was doing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what is it? And luckily, I had good people in my corner, good friends that always said, well, you know, we don't want to sound rude or anything, but what if it's you? What if it's just like your attitude to how you perceive things and how you receive things? And I was like, well, I never thought of it that way. And then when I started seeing a life coach, she was really great. And she started pointing out certain things that I was doing. And, you know, she was really good with pinpointing things that happen from when we're young and how we bring it in over. And I was like, you know what? She's very right. Like, I'm carrying this on. Like, she's like, you don't have to be guarded. Like, to make a point and like let people know that you mean business, you don't have to really put on this heavy armor and say like, all right, like, I'm here to fight the world to show them that, you know, I have something to prove. She was just like, you can let the guard down and you can still mean business. Like, it's okay. So I had to learn how to do that. And I found that a lot of my relationships were just like going in the same circles. And I'm like, what is it? Like, what could it be? And as I started to slowly just work on myself and do the inner work, I noticed my environment was changing. My relationships were changing. My friendships were changing. Everything. And I started to just grow. And with growth comes loss. You lose friendships that you had. You lose family members that maybe you were close to, because at that time, the person you used to be, you're no longer them. So now that you're growing, their chapter's done in your life. That's it. Like, they were meant to be with the old you. The new you will develop new opportunities, new friendships, new everything, new relationships. That person is the person you're building now. So it doesn't mean that you change who you are. You know, your personality still remains the same. You're still a good person. You know, it just means that your goals and what you look at, what you prioritize have changed. And so now you're ready to step into that new, you know, life of yours, as opposed to just being stagnant in the old one.
Absolutely. I think it's hard for people to let go of certain things because they feel bad, they feel guilty, but in reality, like, that's a part of our life. Like, we have to grow into who we want to become. And sometimes the relationships we had before or the activities we did before don't support our eventual goal or our, you know, our future self that we desire to be. So it's definitely, it's okay. It's okay to do that.
It is. It's okay to let go. It's absolutely okay. And I always tell people that. And I'm like, listen, even like when I'm coaching clients, you know, I always tell them, like, this is not going to be something that happens overnight. Like, I get that. But you have to make small changes. I always say small habits lead to bigger habits. And when you develop bigger habits, they become healthier habits. And then everything starts to change for you. So I also teach my clients not to speak negatively upon themselves. I'm a firm believer that the tongue is very mighty. And so we can curse, or we can actually speak life onto ourselves. And a lot of times, even when people just like jokingly say, oh, you know, I can't afford that, I'm broke, I'm like, don't do that. Don't do that. Because if that's the energy you want to attract, that's the energy you're going to get. And I'm like, you know, at the end of the day, the frequency that we have as human beings, the universe doesn't know good and bad. It's just like, whatever you put out, you're going to get back. Right. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't know right from wrong. It doesn't know good or bad. It just knows this is the frequency you're on. So this is the frequency I'm going to deliver on. And so it's like, you speak negative, you're going to have a negative, like, kind of day. I always tell people, when you wake up in the morning, right, you kind of create your own stress. You wake up and automatically you're thinking, oh my God, I have to go to work. I have to get the kids ready. It's going to be a long day. It's raining. It's ugly outside. Oh, this is horrible. Right. I don't even want to do anything today. I just want to stay home. Right. So now all of a sudden you've just, the first thing you did as you opened your eyes was set that intention for your day. So now when you go outside and you catch a flat and everything else happens, you're going to be so vivid because you're like, I knew it. I knew this was going to be a bad day, but this is the type of day you've been attracting from the moment you opened your eyes.
Yep.
So why are you mad? As to where you can wake up, you can be extremely grateful for even waking up, taking that breath, you know, seeing the rain. Some people didn't wake up, you know, be grateful for what you have. And once you're grateful for what you have, you get more to be grateful for. So you don't have to look at it as, oh my gosh, it's going to be a horrible day. Okay, it's raining. All right, cool. Well, I'll just grab an umbrella. I'll make sure that I'm early because there's going to be traffic. You know, I'll do everything I have to do. And then guess what? If you catch a flat, oh, wow. Okay, well, I was running early anyway. So I have time to go get it fixed. Let me get to work. Nothing's going to stop you. You know, nothing's going to get in your way. You're not going to take it to heart and you're not going to flip out about it because you're grateful. You're just grateful to be here. You're grateful for everything. You're like, I get to go to a job. You know, people don't get to go to a job. Like, you know, you get to take your breath. You get to know that you're healthy today. You get to know that your family and your loved ones, they're still intact. They're still healthy. They're still breathing. Yeah. These are little things to be grateful for. And a lot of people just take it for granted.
One of the top things that the most successful people in the world do is literally write down what they're grateful for every single day. They have like gratitude journals, they hang them up on their walls. They make sure to be grateful for what they have rather than, because the human brain naturally goes to the negative. It's crazy. Like that's, like you said, the first thing we think in the morning is, I'm so tired. I don't want to get out of bed. It's raining. It's ugly out. Like, instead of thinking of the good things, the human brain is like wired to do that. And So it does take training, and working with a coach, I mean, it's definitely helpful. I actually asked one of the judges that I work with, I asked him, because he's really into writing books and he's working on a book right now, actually. And I asked him, what do you think about, because he deals a lot with younger people and their development and the brain and why they end up doing what they do. And so I asked him, like, do you know anything about life coaching, or like, have you ever met any of these kids who have a life coach, or who have ever, you know, thought about that? And of course he said, not really. I mean, of course in the Bronx, they probably, you know,
right.
Maybe it's like a little bit of like a lower income. 'Cause I know coaching, it's not cheap, but it's worth it. But he said that he just knew about mentors, which he kind of was thinking was the same thing. But I, in my heart, I wanted to be like, well, it's actually not the same thing, because a coach is not necessarily someone who has been through what this person is going through, which is what a mentor, he was saying, his point was like, that's what a mentor is someone who's experienced the same thing and can relate to them. But a coach, that's not really what a coach, like a coach, a life coach can coach on anything, that even if they haven't been through it, but the tool of knowing how to use your mind and knowing how to manage your emotions and like manifest whatever you want to do, it's totally different. It's so beneficial. I think that's one of the things I think that young people should, like school systems should put it into the school system, like
Absolutely.
About how do we manage our emotions? How do we use this brain that like God has given us? You know how computers are so advanced in technology now and they're so useful, and AI and all this stuff, technology, but the human brain is like the most advanced thing. I mean, the human brain is what's coming up with all these things. If we know how to utilize the brain that we have, it can really advance us forward.
No, absolutely. And one of the things you touched on, which I'm glad you've mentioned, was managing your emotions. And that is something that is extremely hard for people to do. I find myself telling a lot of business owners and a lot of, like, I guess you could say a lot of people in like higher positions, whether it's in the courts or whatever, I always tell them, if you're in a leadership position or you have a business, you cannot mix your personal feelings with business and work. That is a major no-no. Like, you will not be successful in that manner. You have to learn to turn off those emotions when it comes, like your personal emotions, when it comes to your business or when it comes to you being in a superior position at work, because the two do not mix at all. And I found that that is probably the hardest thing that people are faced with, because they take everything so personal. And it's like, why are you taking this personal? I'm one person that does not take anything personal at all. I know how to separate the two. People can say one thing to me and they'll be like, oh, please don't take it personal. I'm like, no, absolutely not. I didn't even get offended by that. Like, I take it as a learning curve. If you're telling me something, I'm going to take the lesson from it and I'm going to try to apply it to what I need to apply it to. A lot of people can't do that. A lot of people take everything personal. And I'm like, oh gosh, that's a major no-no. So I work with clients to help them also like separate the two. And they're like, oh, how do you do it? You make it seem like it's just like a button that you push and it's so easy. And I'm like, no, again, it took time for me to get here. It didn't happen overnight. I used to take things personal, you know, I'm not that person anymore. Like, I grew through it. I worked through it. I did the inner work. I invested in myself. So people definitely, I always say, if you can do it, listen, invest in yourself for sure.
Even people take circumstances personally. Like, there could be two different people who have completely different results, but were born into the exact same circumstance. And one of them, the one that's in a, you know, created a result that they're not happy with, and the other one created a result that is impacting the entire world. But it's because of the way they're thinking about their circumstance. One is taking it personally, like, why was I born into this situation? This is terrible. And then the other one's like, because of my circumstance, because of my situation, I was able to do this. So there's always like a different way to look at things, whether it's something someone said to you, something that happened to you, there's always a way to look at it to make something positive come out of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that does happen. You know, you have people that they didn't have everything growing up, you know, but they made the best of it. They read books. They became more educated because they knew that maybe the education system was not really, you know, at their disposal like that. And then you have those that go to the most prestigious schools and colleges. And it's like, wow, like what happened? You know, they just chose to go the wrong route. And then you're like, I can't believe this person did that, you know? Or I've heard parents say, you know, I've invested so much money on my child, and then this is what he turned out to be, or this is what she turned out to be. And then you have those that were like, yeah, like, you know, my parents didn't have it growing up, you know, they struggled and they came from another country here to make a way for us to, you know, actually do something with our lives. And now they probably own like 6 businesses and they're just doing great. And it's just, you know, you are what you make of yourself, honestly. If you're going to mm-hmm. sit there and you're going to have a pity party for yourself, listen, I'm not the one that's going to have a pity party with you. I'm not bringing the champagne to this party. I'm sorry.
I know, right? Oh,
you are okay. On your own.
You just reminded me because I had another. So this is like, this might be a tricky question because I'm actually curious to know the answer, what you think about this. Because so when you said the word prestigious schools, it reminded me because before I wanted to ask this and then I totally forgot about it. But it's so I recently went to an a cappella concert, and at that a cappella concert, it was Ivy League college students singing. It was groups from Princeton, Harvard, Yale, and Dartmouth. One of the things I noticed was that what they teach in the Ivy League schools, I guess because it's such a high level of education, they not only do they teach them the academics, but they also teach them about character and how to have a sense of humor and how to like be a personable person, because they didn't just sing the songs, but they also introduced themselves, and their introductions were very funny and very like relatable. And but it was just, I've always wondered this, like they are using humor to kind of actually put themselves down a little bit. But at the same time, what do you think about that? Like, is there a fine line between humorously putting yourself down, like slash making fun of yourself a little bit, or not? Do you think that's positive at all?
I think it depends on what you're saying, right? Because like, let's say, for example, I don't know, let's just say, so for example, so with me, my boyfriend always has this thing where he says that I have squirrel brain, right? So he's always like, oh, you have squirrel brain. Like you just can't sit on one thing. Like you're like everywhere. And at first I kind of was like, what does he mean by that? Is he like trying to insult me? So then I learned to embrace it. And I had to look at it from his point of view. And I'm like, you know what? He's right. Because if I looked at somebody like me, I would be like, man, this girl's always like one minute here, there. Like she's always, you know, starting one thing, forgetting to finish that one and going on to the next and stuff like that. So at some point I learned to make the joke on myself. So I would be like, oh yeah, this and that. And then I'm like, oh my God, I just did this. I went to do this. Oh my gosh, here goes that squirrel brain, right? So he starts laughing. So if you're doing it in that sense, yeah. But not to the sense where you're like degrading yourself or kind of like putting yourself down. Because at the end of the day, that's something that, you know, even if you feel like it'll help you get over how you feel about it, I still wouldn't do it, because you shouldn't make yourself the butt of anybody's joke either.
I think like acknowledging our weaknesses, like because everybody has their strengths and then we also have our weaknesses. And so I guess, you know, if you acknowledge your weaknesses in a way that's not putting yourself down, because you know that, okay, that's my weakness. We all play a different role in life. We can't be good at everything. Right. So I think it depends on how you're thinking about it. Like if it's actually putting you down in the inside, then maybe it's not the best idea. But if it's something that you're laughing about because you know that you don't need that because other people do that, or like, you know, like delegation, we are not good at everything, so we hire people to do them for us, right?
Right.
People that are better
absolutely.
At it.
Right. No, so absolutely.
It's not necessarily that they're actually being affected by these thoughts in a negative way, but it might be. And if it is, then they should stop.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, absolutely. 100%.
So, and then there was another question. Let me think. I'm a squirrel brain too. I should have a notebook with me.
There was right.
One mark. Oh, yes. Okay. So your beauty product, what sets them apart from other?
Absolutely. It's ingredients. They're all organic, all natural. Not a bit of chemicals, not a bit of synthetic anything in there. Just pure oils, plants, herbs, natural, completely natural, that actually help your skin and keep it balanced. I like to put my all into everything that I do. With me, you get quality all the way around. And that goes from the product to the packaging to the customer service to the shipping to everything. You know that you got every penny of your dollar worth with me.
The makeup that I've probably been buying is filled with things that are probably advancing the aging process. I don't know, because you never know. I hear so much about like chemicals and ingredients, and I've tried to look it up a little bit, but I haven't really gone down that rabbit hole yet.
So the thing with people is a lot of times they don't know the type of skin that they have. So I always tell people, if you're unsure, definitely like go see a professional, go see an esthetician, go get a facial, talk to them, learn about your skin.
That's a good idea.